Today is the 9th anniversary of the signing of the Kellogg-Briand Pact for the renunciation of war. In observance of this anniversary, the National Broadcasting Company presents an international program sponsored by the People's Mandate Committee. This committee is conducting a worldwide campaign to secure 50 million signatures to a mandate to governments to end war in accordance with a pledge given in the Kellogg-Briand Pact to settle all differences by peaceful means. The Honorable Caroline O'Day, representative at large from the state of New York and vice chairman of the Mandate Committee, presides at this evening's program. The speakers are the Honorable George S. Messersmith, Assistant Secretary of State, and Monsieur François de Tassin, Undersecretary for Foreign Affairs of the French Republic. Monsieur de Tassin will speak from Paris. The program will be opened by the United States Marine Band under the direction of Captain Taylor Branson, playing from the Marine Barracks in Washington, John Philip Sousa's march, Hands Across the Sea. Now present the Honorable Caroline O'Day, Member of Congress from New York. As Vice Chairman of the Mandate Committee, Representative O'Day made the presentation of 1.5 million signatures to the Inter-American Peace Conference in Buenos Aires. Mrs. O'Day.
9 years ago today, the world was rejoicing because of the signing of the Kellogg-Briand Pact by practically all nations renouncing war as a means of settling international disputes. The People's Mandate Committee, which sponsors this radio program, was founded on that pledge for renunciation of war, and this is the People's Mandate to governments. We, the people, are determined to end war. War settles no problems. War brings economic disaster, needless suffering, and death to us and our children. To meet the present threat of a complete world chaos, we demand that our government, having renounced war in the Kellogg-Briand Pact, stop immediately all increase of armaments and of armed forces, use existing machinery for peaceful settlement of present conflicts, secure a world treaty for immediate reduction of arms as a step toward complete world disarmament, secure international agreements founded on recognition of world interdependence to end the economic anarchy which breeds war. Standing before the Indo-American Peace Conference at Buenos Aires last winter, presenting 1.5 million signatures to this mandate gathered by the Committee for the Western Hemisphere, I felt the solemn determination of the representatives of the 21 republics to end war on the American continent. The treaties resulting from this conference give firm foundation for a workable peace system in the Western Hemisphere. Foremost among the statesmen in this conference was our Secretary of State of the United States, Cordell Hull, who is constantly and devotedly working for peace, not only in the Western Hemisphere, but throughout the world. In his fine statement of principles of international policy, which he recently communicated to practically all governments, Secretary Hull declared, "We advocate faithful observance of international agreements. We advocate adjustment of problems to international relations by processes of peaceful negotiation and agreement. This declaration we support with all our hearts. It is the only sane course to be pursued, and the mandate committee still has faith in the sanity of peoples of other continents where peace and war seem trembling in the balance today. Just as representatives of the two nations, France and the United States, took the lead in initiating the Pact of Paris, so tonight, representatives of these nations call on the world to maintain the sanctity of pacts. Speaking for the United States on this occasion is the Honorable George S. Messersmith, who, after distinguished diplomatic service in South America and Europe, has recently been recalled to Washington to serve as Assistant Secretary of State. I now have the honor to present him to you, Mr. Messersmith.
9 years ago today, the plenipotentiaries of the great powers gathered in Paris and in the name of their respective governments signed a document renouncing war as an instrument of policy and pledging the settlement of international disputes by pacific means only. Shortly thereafter, nearly every other state throughout the world sent notice of adherence, and the pact thus became universally binding. It was a dramatic condemnation of the rule of force, couched not in the usual jargon of diplomacy, but in brief and simple sentences which were understood by and brought a new message of hope to the common man throughout the nations of the world. At the time of the signing, Mr. Kellogg, whose name together with that of Mr. Briand is indelibly associated with the negotiation of the pact, stated that the public conscience must be aroused against the utter horror and frightfulness of war. The Great War left an indelible impression on the generation that survived, but I do not think that it can be said with conviction that the world today remembers its lessons. Racial and political animosities have continued to create disturbing situations, and the rise of a new generation has thrown into low relief the horrible example of the war to end wars. Nevertheless, despite the deteriorating international outlook, more and more people are conscious of the enormities of war and are clamoring for statesmen to ensure the preservation of peace. I cannot too highly recommend the concentration of such feeling through active and energetic organizations which can make constructive contributions towards the building up of public opinion. In one field only, namely our Western Hemisphere, can I point with comfort to the pacific sentiments that prevail today. The family of Western nations gave eloquent expression to its genuine desire for peace in the treaties and conventions resulting from the Inter-American Conference for the Maintenance of Peace held at Buenos Aires in 1936. The tone of the conference was given by the impassioned plea of President Roosevelt for peace throughout the world. War was condemned by the 21 American republics, and the machinery for peaceful settlement of disputes was elaborated. One of the most important measures was a convention by which the obligations of the American governments, as accepted in 5 international pacts and accords, were reaffirmed, and among such solemn reaffirmations was the Kellogg-Briand Pact. Still more recently, our government has taken the lead in restating these principles. In furtherance of our desire for peace, the Secretary of State on July 16 last issued a statement listing a number of principles of international conduct. This statement has been appropriately labeled the Pillars of Peace, and it was prepared in the hope that expressions of approval from other governments would have a revitalizing effect on the standards desirable in international conduct. The results were encouraging as the governments which commented on the statement, nearly 60 in number, with unbroken unanimity endorsed the principles set forth. As the Secretary of State remarked the other day, this has not only been gratifying, but reveals a solidarity of support for a program leading towards restored world order. This program is the alternative, adequate and complete, to war. From the standpoint of peace and progress, the importance of this program, advancing basic principles of conduct, and of its affirmation, reiteration, confirmation, and application cannot be overestimated. We are still advancing along the road laid down by the negotiators of the Pact of Paris. The road has not always been a smooth one. There have been obstacles to clear, bypaths to avoid, and hazards of different sorts to surmount. Yet on this road, each traveler should help his neighbor. More and more, the realization is being borne in upon mankind that nations do not profit by the misfortunes of other nations and do not prosper where rivals sink. On the contrary, they are learning that the prosperity of one contributes to the prosperity of all, and that while there are many factors leading to prosperity, the greatest of these is peace.
Thank you, Mr. Mercer Smith. Mr. Jules Henry, Chargé d'Affaires of the French Republic, presents the Undersecretary for Foreign Affairs of France, and honoring our distinguished speaker from France, the Marine Band plays the French National Anthem.
It is a great pleasure for me to introduce to the radio audience Monsieur François de Tesson, Undersecretary of State for Foreign Affairs, member of the Chamber of Deputies. Monsieur de Tesson is well known in this country, where last fall he represented the French government at the 50th anniversary of the Statue of Liberty. During the war, he came here as a member of the French official mission, headed by Marshal Joffre and former Prime Minister Viviani, whose main task was to establish a close cooperation between our two countries for the victory of a common cause. Later on, in 1921, he was a member of the French delegation to the Naval Disarmament Conference in Washington. On that occasion, he accompanied the late Aristide Briand. Having been associated for many years with that great statesman who, with former Secretary Kellogg, brought about the Pact of Paris, Monsieur de Tesson is well prepared by his past and present work to speak on the anniversary of the Pact in the name of a government which remains firmly attached to its ideal and principles. Monsieur de Tessin will speak from Paris, France.
My friends of America, today is the 9th anniversary of the signature of the Pact of Paris, and what was done on the 27th of August, 1928, deserves to be remembered and celebrated. For the signature of that pact put the seal to a series of international negotiations which had been remarkable for their generous confidence. And by the treaty itself, this great step forward in the history of human relations was made that all the nations of the world solemnly recorded their disapproval of war as an instrument of policy and engaged to abstain from recourse to it for the settlement of any future differences. There can be no doubt that what was signed that day was in fulfillment of the profound desire of that universal conscience without whose backing statesmen can accomplish nothing great or lasting. But it is also true that these aspirations of the multitudes cannot be given life and reality unless they are, in a sense, molded and formed by men with the gift of leadership who give to them their authority and their fervor. And such a task of giving expression to the almost universal hope of mankind for peace, no two men were better fitted than Frank Kellogg and Aristide Briand. Although they did not know each other and were separated by the immense Atlantic, they were equally animated by a passionate interest in the cause of peace. They both knew, too, the secret of how to appeal to the popular mind and how to take the mass into their confidence in making their plans. Themselves sworn enemies of war, they aroused the irresistible enthusiasm of world opinion for their project and so succeeded in drawing every country into it. It would be an unpardonable ingratitude on this day not to give first place in our memories to these two apostles of the same great ideal. And it is for us who believe, as they believed in peace, to keep alive and vital the spirit which penetrates the pact which bears their two names. To those who, under pretext of realism, are preaching disastrous skepticism and blind to the dangers of their doctrine, don't hesitate to energize brute force. We must oppose our unbroken faith in the spread of peace and law. And speaking for my own dear country of France, I can say that it would be a betrayal of the most constant and dearest of her traditions if, on every occasion, she did not renew the affirmation of her belief in the coming of an era when the nations, at last delivered from the law of the jungle, will exclude from their relations any appeal to violence or coercion. And we have this encouragement that we know that the people of the United States of America share that ambition and understand. For war is the most cynical negation of those great democratic conceptions of liberty and justice to which you are attached. That link will always bind us. And France associates herself with all her heart in President Roosevelt's crusade for this magnanimous cause. We and you can both take confidence from the fact that never at any time have there been such a quick echo back across the ocean to any action for peace taken on the other side. At times, perhaps, it may seem that the road that leads to peace is one long culvert, but instead of discouraging us, these trials and disappointments should steel our will to attain the glorious aim we have in view.
After this address by Monsieur François de Tesson, sub-minister of Foreign Affairs of France, we now return you to America.
We thank the Undersecretary for Foreign Affairs of France for the message he has given us in the name of his great government. As we observe this anniversary tonight, we appeal to the people of the world to demand of their government that they keep the pledge renouncing war as an instrument of national policy. The alternative is chaos and suffering beyond the mind of man to conceive. We refuse to accept the alternative. If you, my radio audience, believe in the cause of peace, will you not help support it? Remember, it is the business of the people to make their governments realize that war must be abolished. We ask you to sign the people's mandate. Your help is needed now. Will you please write to the People's Mandate Committee, the Willard Hotel, Washington, D.C.
The United States Marine Band, conducted by Captain Taylor Branson, plays Sambre Meurs.
Thank you.
And now from the Marine Band, again, we hear the Stars and Stripes Forever. You have been listening to an international broadcast arranged by the People's Mandate Committee in observance of the 9th anniversary of the signing of the Kellogg-Briand Pact for the Renunciation of War. The People's Mandate Committee is conducting a worldwide campaign to secure 50 million signatures to a mandate to governments to end war in accordance with a pledge given in the Kellogg-Briand Pact to settle all differences by peaceful means. The distinguished speakers in the program this evening have been the Honorable Carolyn O'Day, Representative at Large from the State of New York and Vice Chairman of the People's Mandate Committee, the Honorable George S. Messersmith, Assistant Secretary of State, Monsieur François de Tesson, Undersecretary for Foreign Affairs of France, who spoke to you from Paris, and Monsieur Jules Henry, Chargé d'Affaires of the French Republic in Washington. This is the National Broadcasting Company.